looking for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to our God. I got so much I want to share with you tonight, but I ain't going to be able to share it all. I don't know. I don't want to just give you a piece of my mind. I want to give you all of it. I want to give you all of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's open our Bibles tonight, or let's get the scriptures rolling here tonight. Post-rapture is what we're preaching on here tonight. Post-rapture. Amen. Everybody understands the word post means after. Post-rapture, after the rapture, what's going to transpire on the face of this earth? And I'm not going into great detail. I don't have time tonight to go into great detail, but I do want to convince you, by the time this message is over, you do not want to miss the rapture. I want to convince you that you do not want to miss the rapture, because post-rapture is not going to be a pleasant place. It's not going to be a place of grace. It's not going to be a place of the Spirit of God moving. You know, a lot of times, sad to say, we take for granted the Spirit of God and His moving in our lives, His moving in our services, and we come to just expect it to be there instead of being very thankful and humbled and full of gratitude that His presence would come and abide with us. Because that ain't going to be after the rapture. That's now. So that's why this tonight's message is a message to stir our hearts, stir our souls, and to survey our lives to make sure we are really rapture ready. Really rapture ready. 1 Thessalonians tonight, chapter number 4. Very familiar portion of Scripture to anybody that believes in the rapture. I trust everybody in this house believes in the rapture. If not, I'm going to do my best to persuade you to understand it's real. It's real. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. In other words, I want you to be taught. I want you to be trained. I want you to understand. Concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about those that have died. Went on to be with the Lord. They have been put in tombs. They've been put in graves. They've been put in the different places of burial of that day and that hour. So he's talking about those that have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Remember, in the book of Acts, they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. And the angels told him, just as you've seen him ascend, you will see him coming again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Really, I mean, you know, praise God. You can be seated again tonight. It's just the reality of this event and everything that's going to transpire in this event. Hallelujah. Now, there's so many things in this portion of Scripture that let us know that Jesus is coming back in the air. Now, pre-rapture is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. That's pre-rapture. We are looking for His return in the air. We are not looking for the day of the Lord. We are looking for the coming of the Lord. There are two different events, two different things. The pre-rapture is looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The post-rapture comes, that is when the day of the Lord is coming, which talks about the judgment of God. Oh, you see, there's a big difference in there. Pre-rapture is being ready for the rapture and the coming of the Lord in the air so that we can hear that shout, we can hear that trumpet, we can see the dead in Christ rising, and then we can begin to rise and together go into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we will be with the Lord forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why is there going to be a shout? What does a shout do for you? Hey! It gets your attention. Wow. The voice of an archangel. That's going to put to flight any demon, anything that's going to try to hinder what God's about to do. The voice of an archangel. Glory. The trump of God. Whether you realize it or not, that is probably going to fulfill one of the feasts of God that he gave to Israel. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise God. We get to hear all this, see all this, and then partake in all this. Praise our God. Hallelujah. And this is the pre-rapture. This is, we're looking for the coming of the Lord in the air. Jason talked about Luke chapter number 22 or 21. In its devotion, and the signs of the times, and the things that were going to rise, and the reality as we see these things happening, because part of Luke chapter 21 is talking about the day of the Lord, and part of Luke chapter 21 is talking about the coming of the Lord, and Jesus is not making a big difference in his conversation with the disciples in Luke chapter number 21, but he just said, when you see these things begin to happen, and you see these things coming upon the land, and your devotion was great, son. He said, lift up your heads. Hallelujah. I mean, what's that mean? That means look, pay attention, be sober. Know that Jesus is about to come in the clouds because the day of the Lord is also coming at hand. Wow. Wow. You ever heard about the rapture? Praise God. I never heard about it till I was 23 years old. You've heard about the rapture, haven't you, Titus? You're just 14. Addison, you ever heard about the rapture? See, she's just 12. She's heard about the rapture. Anybody in here heard about the rapture ever since you was a child growing up? Oh, wow. Anybody in here just hearing about the rapture tonight? Now, I agree with those scoffers. You'll not find the word rapture in God's word. But when you look at the definition of rapture, you understand it means caught away. And so they just began to use, I don't really know where they began to use that word at, or how, what time frame they used it. Somebody just probably just wanted to use that word to help people understand that the Lord was coming. And it was a catching away. It wasn't the judgment of God. Actually, it was a salvation of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here, Paul begins to teach. Notice verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So in other words, this wasn't Paul's principle on the situation. This wasn't Paul's remedy for a situation or a problem. This was what Jesus Christ taught Paul personally about his coming. That's awesome. There's some things that Paul wrote, and he said, the Lord didn't tell me exactly what to do in this situation, but because I know the ways of the Lord, you better do it this way. And that was the authority of an apostle. But he said, this is by the word of the Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ told him personally that this was to be taught to the people. Those that believed on him, this was to be taught to them, and they were supposed to believe it. And of course now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as it happens so many times, people can be taught the truth, and then someone comes along and tries to undermine truth and pull it away from them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, notice the different terminology, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Did you catch that? They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Do not desire to be darkness. Do not desire to be partakers of darkness. Do not be desire to be like darkness. Because darkness ain't going in the rapture. Darkness, well, you'll see it here in a minute. Darkness is part of judgment. Judgment. But brethren, ye are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. So in other words, we're enlightened. We understand. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. That's not talking about staying up all night long. That's talking about not paying attention to what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. I could talk about students right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to move on. I'm going to pass that rabbit. Therefore, let us not sleep. Maybe I need to quote this scripture from time to time in school. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That means wide awake and paying attention. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. And now he's making a reference to what darkness is and what people of darkness do. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Verse number 9, something you want to underline in your Bible or make a note about. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This is a reference once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The rapture, or being caught up into the clouds, into the heavens with Jesus Christ, because he makes that statement, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, in other words, if we're alive and remain, or whether we have died in the Lord, we should live together with him. He put that with that scripture, we're not appointed to the wrath of God. The day of the Lord is the wrath of God. The coming of the Lord is the deliverance of the saints of God from the wrath of God. And thus, therefore, we don't have to fear what's coming upon this world, because we know our promise is when God has everything ready and in line, and at the appointed time, that trumpet's going to sound, that shout's going to come forth, hallelujah, and we're going to be caught out of here, and judgment is going to begin upon all those that have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, judgment's coming. You can say rapture, judgment's coming. Saying the same thing. Rapture, judgment's coming. 2 Thessalonians, Paul's still writing to them. I mean, there's folks that don't want to hear what he's talking about. There's folks that don't want to believe what Paul's been teaching to them. And they're having difficulties with it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Now we're going to begin to deal with post-rapture. says, now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the terminology. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. See, that's a reference right back to the catching away of the believers, which we call the rapture now. Amen. We're not taking away from Scripture or adding unto Scripture. We're just using a synonym of caught up. Amen. That ye should not soon be shaken, that ye be not shaken in your mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So notice the terminology, day of Christ, the judgment of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's talking about the Antichrist. Verse number 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. That's that man of sin, that son of perdition. Then he says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This coming is talking about the day of the Lord. Now notice he makes a statement, verse 6, and know ye now what withholdeth, or keeps it pushed back, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the spirit of the Antichrist, the desire of the Antichrist, the power of the Antichrist was already working in that day. That's what was messing up the minds of the people at Thessalonica, and why Paul was having to write a second letter. Because that spirit of the Antichrist, of trying to deny every truth of the kingdom of God, was at work among that church. And Paul was trying to reaffirm to them, this is what I taught you to begin with. The Holy Ghost, that's the one who now holds things back. He, that's what it says. He, only he who now letteth will let. And as you look those words up in the Greek, and you start seeing what that means, is it means to not let, hold back. Push back. The Holy Ghost is restraining the wickedness from consuming everything. The church that is filled with the Holy Ghost is pushing back the powers of darkness. You and I are light in this world, and we preach about that, we teach about that, to go out and let our little light shine wherever we're at, wherever we go. We want to present Jesus Christ and the transforming power of His kingdom to everybody we meet and wherever we go. Amen. Because you've got to realize, people that are not serving Jesus Christ will fall underneath the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist. If you're not for him, you're against him. Wow. There's no middle ground. A lot of folks try to get on middle ground, but I'm sorry, the middle ground is the most unstable ground you could ever be on. Wow. And so we see then, he's letting them know that the day of the Lord has not happened yet. because there are things that must transpire before that day will happen. Now, fast forward, here we are, 2022, and the coming of the Lord has not happened yet. In Paul's day and hour, they were looking for the coming of the Lord that day. That's what Christ taught them. You be ready, because you don't know when I'm returning. You be ready. Always be ready. Here we are, 2022. The rapture has not taken place yet. But yet as we look around in the world, we're seeing every sign that Jesus said would transpire, and the building up of technology to where that one man of sin will be able to control the world via internet. It's very, very intriguing, church, what's going on in the world right now, and how that technology has escalated the plan of God. Wow. We showed a little film in here at one point in time about the prophecy of technology. Knowledge shall increase. Many shall go to and fro. I mean, they even brought out the fact that, you know, the Antichrist doesn't even have to be on the face of this earth when all the calamity's going on. He could be in a space lab, a satellite, surveying it all from there. When all the things and that are happening down here on this earth. But he's going to be there sooner or later, because he can't help himself but want to be in that temple. And he can't help himself but want to proclaim himself God. And he can't help it, but he's going to want people to worship him. And if they don't, he's going to kill them. That's just what's going to be going on post-rapture. So, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. When is the Holy Ghost leaving? Because he's going to be taken out of the way. I mean, he's always been in existence. He's God. He's eternal. But there's been times he's been here on earth. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. He was here. There's times he moved upon the patriarchs and the men of the Old Testament, but they were never filled. And then Jesus sent him back for the purpose of building his church in the book of Acts. And he's been here ever since then, holding back the mystery of iniquity, holding back the spirit of the Antichrist, not annulling it or doing away with it, just holding it back, building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, saving souls, pulling them out of the flame of the fire, hallelujah, and just moving in hearts and lives and miraculous salvations. I mean, that's been happening for thousands of years. Because the Holy Ghost has been working and been moving, and anywhere he's been given liberty, he'll even do more. He'll even do more. You see, because he's God, that means he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere. He can be in me. He can be in you. And he can be in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, that's the Holy Ghost of God. But he will not break or go against the will of men. He will always draw and teach and train and invite. Praise God. That's why sometimes it's so hard to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, because, you know, he's wanting you to just follow him, but he ain't going to make you do anything. But if you'll follow him, you'll do everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll be filled with the Spirit of God. You'll speak in an unknown tongue. So he's here, but he's going to be taken out of the way. When's he going to be taken out of the way? How you think you're going to fly in the air? How you think you're going to put on immortality? How do you think this body, this flesh, is going to be changed to a glorified body? How's that going to be? That's all miraculous stuff, isn't it? Because that's what the Holy Ghost is going to do on his way out of here. Woo, hallelujah. He's going to glorify our bodies. He's going to take us flying through the air. He's going to bring the saints of old out of the graves. I mean, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to be seen in such a magnificent way at the rapture of the church. Woo, glory to God. You want to see a miracle? We're about to see the miracle of all miracles, if you will. When the Holy Ghost in one move takes millions. Praise our God. And folks want to dabble with the devil when God is about to perform some of the greatest things the world's ever seen or ever known. The rapture of the church. You don't want to miss the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Verse number 8 says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Did you catch that? See, those that would not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I mean, I've studied this when I first got saved throughout the years. That age old, "Well, I'll just get saved after the rapture," is not going to happen. Because if you know you're supposed to be saved before the rapture, there will be no hope for you after the rapture. Nothing but judgment. For that individual who knew nothing about Jesus, never heard about Jesus, and all of a sudden they're seeing what's going on in this world and they start calling on the name of Jesus, they're going to be saved. But if you're in the sound of my voice and you're hearing tonight that you've got to be ready for the rapture, you have no hope after the rapture. None whatsoever. "Well, you know, I'll just tell the Lord I didn't believe it then, but I believe it now." It's going to be too late. That's right, Brother Lucas. For those who have knowledge of the Lord and do not prepare for the coming of the Lord, there will not be any salvation, but a judgment of an almighty God, because they receive not the love of the truth. Do you realize that God's truth comes with His love? His mercy, His grace, His love. As He reaches down and pulls on the hearts of men and women, that they would surrender their lives wholly unto Him, so that they'd be ready for the rapture, part of His church. That is the love of God reaching, but they wouldn't receive that love. And that was the only way they were going to be saved, if they received the love of the truth that God was bringing to them. And notice in verse 11, "And for this cause, because they would not accept Jesus Christ, because they would not receive that love, because they would not receive that truth, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I'm afraid the church has went to sleep. They have forgotten what it's going to take to make the rapture. It's going to take a surrender of all. That's what it's going to take to make the rapture. Not good intentions, not a few good deeds here and there, not putting on face when Christians are around, but a true blue, sold out servant of the Most High God. That is the one that's going in the rapture. They are looking. Brother Jason brought it out. They are looking. Hallelujah. They're always looking up. They're always listening. They're always thinking about it. They're always ready for it. I mean, that's why in Luke chapter 21 it says, "Watch, pray, Don't be deceived. Don't let your heart be overcharged. Sir, fighting, drunkenness, cares of this life. In other words, don't let your mind be filled with the pleasures of this world, the cares of this world, the problems of this world. But lift up your heads, because look what's going on. Jesus is about to return for his church. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Post-rapture is not a place you want to be. You don't want to be left here after the rapture of the church if you've had knowledge that Jesus was coming. Why? Because he's going to send strong delusion. What do you mean, Brother Pepper? Well, right now, the Jews, as a nation, have been under strong delusion for thousands of years because they rejected Jesus Christ. They said, let his blood be on our hands, upon our hands and upon our children's hands, and that's exactly what they got. Doesn't mean God doesn't love them. Doesn't mean they're not God's chosen people, because they are. But they're suffering the consequences of their rejection of Jesus Christ. And this last 7 years of this tribulation time, of this judgment of God, God's going to take his focus. It's not going to be on the church anymore, because the church is gone. It's going to be on Israel. It's going to be on that Jew. And he's going to begin to preach to them, open their blinded eyes, and give them opportunity to realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That's what's going to be going on in that 7 year period of Jacob's trouble, is what the Bible calls it. The 7 year period of tribulation. And it is also the judgment of an almighty God on all those that rejected Jesus Christ in the rest of the world. Wow. I don't want to be there. In Joel chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Post-rapture. Devastation across the lands. Who's going to be doing it? I'm not 100% sure, but we got a lot of things going on right now in countries, don't we? And Joel is saying it's going to be such devastation. I mean, it's going to be like a fire burning. And when it's done, there's going to be nothing left but a wilderness. That's pretty much calamity. That's pretty much destruction. That's what's going to be happening after the rapture takes place. After the church has been caught out of here. And God begins to judge the rejectors of the truth. So don't think you'll get right after the rapture. Because if you have that thought, Holy Ghost is telling you, you need to get right now. Right now. Woo. I'm just going to throw this in here, because I've been asked this question different times in a serious manner. You know, Brother Pepper, so I don't think I can be saved because I think I have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I just simply tell them, I said, well, number one, is if you were, had blasphemed the Holy Ghost to where you couldn't be saved, you wouldn't be telling me this right now. I said, number two, had you blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you would not even want anything to do with God, and God wouldn't be dealing in your heart like He is. So your very own statements, your very own questions, let me know to try to encourage you. You have not blasphemed the Holy Ghost because God's dealing in your heart to save your soul. And you need to surrender to Him. That's just the devil trying to tell you you've done too much and God won't forgive you. I said, God's dealing with you and you need to surrender to God. So then you won't have to worry whether you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost or not. You can get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise our God. Woo! Because if they've blasphemed the Holy Ghost, they would have nothing to do with church. They'd have nothing to do with Christ. They'd have nothing to do with anything pertaining to God. Because they would be falling under judgment. But if God's dealing in your heart and you want to get right with God, you can. You can. You can. Because we're living in that day and that hour of grace, not judgment. Jesus came to save the lost, not judge them. But there's coming a day He's coming to judge. He's coming to, He's a righteous judge. And grace has abounded for how many thousands of years? And grace has abounded how much to you and I? Just in our lifetime? Whoa. Praise God. Amos chapter 5. This scripture to me speaks fathoms. I'll go ahead and read it. Amos chapter 5 verse 18, it says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." Do what? Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him and went into his house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? This reminds me of a statement of days gone by, rock and roll singer, and even songs that they wrote about how they were going to party in hell. So it's evident that was a reprobate mind, and probably someone that had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, because they have no idea. There's not going to be any parties there. There's not going to be anything but pain, torment, and punishment. And you're not going to be able to converse with everybody else because you're going to be in too much pain, torment, and punishment. There'd be no parties in hell. But you see, this scripture reminds me of somebody with that mind frame. Oh yeah, I'm ready for the day of the Lord. I'm going to defy God to the end. What a fool. What a fool. The fool has said there is no God. Oh, says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. In other words, those that mock it, those that think making fun of it, those that just talk about it in lightness. And the Amos goes on to say, it's going to be like a man who's running for his life from a lion. And he's about to get away and he runs smack right dab into a bear. And then he makes it to his house and he leans up on the wall and a serpent bites. In other words, you're not going to get away from the judgment of an almighty God. I just want you to understand, you're not going to get away from the scrutiny in the eye of the Lord right now. That's why the Holy Ghost continually works in our hearts, works in our minds, works in our lives to pull us away from darkness, out of darkness, into the marvelous light of an almighty God, so we can be victorious children of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible, Jesus even said, if the light that be in thee is darkness, great is that darkness. Oh, what's that mean? That means I can have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, his saving power, a knowledge of the power of the Holy Ghost, a knowledge of the coming of the Lord, and still be living wrong. And because I will not allow that knowledge to change my life, whoa, I'm in delusion, but it's not God's delusion. It's not the devil's delusion. It's my self-developed delusion of justifying my sin because of what somebody else has done. That's delusion. The only justification is a turning from sin. If I will confess my sins, if I will repent of my sins, he is just and faithful to forgive me of my sins. But if I try to justify my wrongdoing by the way someone has done me wrong, then I'm in a twofold sin. It's delusion. It's not light. It's darkness. The day of the Lord will be darkness, not light. What's that saying? That means it's not going to be gracious. It's not going to be kind. It's not going to be merciful. You will have had your opportunity and you rejected it. And thus judgment's going to fall. Judgment's going to fall. And I'm going to close with this scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 6:1. 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. To receive the grace of God in vain is when God comes by, touches us with his Spirit, speaks to us with his Word, and then we continue on like nothing ever happened in our sin. The grace of God comes, what's Titus tell us? The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching. The grace of God comes talking. The grace of God comes dealing for us to turn from our ungodliness and our wicked ways and start living soberly. It's amazing how many times the Bible uses that terminology. Soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Do you realize you can be drunk on things besides alcohol? Yeah, because drunkenness is something that alters your mind from rightful thinking. Lust can do that. Video games can do that. I'm sorry, young people, but you got to realize these video games have a message in them. And if you get a hold of the wrong ones, they're going to be teaching you the wrong things. And before you know it, you're going to get filled with rebellion and you really don't know why. You're going to get filled with anger and you really won't know why. Let me tell you why. That's the message they're teaching in that video game. That's the message they're teaching in that video game. That's what they're trying to pull you into in that video game. So you've got to be very, very cautious of the video games that you play, because you will become drunken. When all you want to do is play a video game instead of do work, you're drunk. You're not thinking straight. Because God says, work. Yeah. The kingdom of God is all about work. Working for the Lord. Working for what's right. Working to supply your everyday needs. Work. What's the problem with society? Nobody wants to work. What's the problem with the church? Nobody wants to work. Glory. Hallelujah. Now I feel bad because we're fixing to clean the church. I hope everybody wants to work. Glory. Hallelujah. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse number 2. For he saith. He saith. God says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, you don't want to put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow becomes today, and the same statement's still up on the mind and on the lips. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Does that sound familiar to anybody besides me? I'll do it tomorrow. I said, you got time to do your work today. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Did you get your work done? I forgot. See, tomorrow never comes. No. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And today is always the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today is always the day of salvation, not yesterday. Well, you know, I got right with God and I got prayed through yesterday. That's great. Glory to God. How you doing today? Because that was yesterday, and today is the day of salvation. Where are you at today? Oh my, wasn't that great service we had Sunday morning and Sunday night again, and wow, man, that was great. How'd you do Monday? How you doing today? Because today's the day of salvation. Today's the day I do righteous. Today is the day I be godly. Today's the day I be humble. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day I show forth light. Because today is the only time I have to do it. Because I'm not promised tomorrow. And yesterday's gone. And I'll not get that opportunity again. So forgetting those things which are behind, pressing towards those things which are before, I press. And that word is actually showing forth right now. I press towards the prize of the high calling of God. That's talking about today. Today. Today's when I press. I may have pressed yesterday. That's not going to do me good today. I've got to press today. And if I don't press today and put it off till tomorrow, oh man, if I start that pattern of not doing today, tomorrow I won't do it either. And then the next tomorrow I won't do it either. See, if you start the pattern, it will become the habit. So let's start the pattern of today. Today I'll pray. Today I'll read my Bible. Today I'll read those scriptures the Sunday school teacher asked me to read. Today. Not catch up on all five of them tomorrow. Woo! Wow, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to preach under the pews tonight. Post-rapture. Could I have a piano player? You don't want to be here after the rapture, church. Not knowing what you know and not hearing what you have heard tonight, you do not want to be here after the rapture, because it will be nothing but judgment and damnation for your life. You've got to choose. Choose you today whom you will serve. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand with me tonight if you could. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we rejoice. God, in the grace and the mercy, Lord, that you are pouring.